Welcome back to Meteorology Matters, where we like to break down complex weather topics.
Yeah, you know, try to make them more accessible and give you some insights.
Absolutely, into things you might not think about every day.
That's right.
And today we're diving into the world of hurricane hunters.
Ah, yes. The brave souls who fly right into the heart of the storms.
I mean, talk about a tough job, right?
Right.
I can't think of many things scarier than that.
It's pretty intense, yeah. I mean, facing those hurricane force winds, torrential rain, even the threat of lightning strikes.
And they're doing all of that to help forecasters predict a storm's path and intensity, right?
That's exactly right.
So they're not just, you know, adventurers or thrill seekers. They're playing this vital role in keeping all of us safe.
Absolutely. Their data can improve forecasts by as much as 10%, which has a huge impact on everything from evacuation decisions to emergency response.
Wow, 10%.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't sound like a lot, but when we're talking about a hurricane, that could mean saving lives and preventing billions of dollars in damage.
Exactly. It could mean giving a coastal community an extra few hours to prepare or helping emergency services allocate resources more effectively.
Okay, so these hurricane hunters are clearly essential. But I understand there are some serious challenges that are kind of threatening their ability to do their jobs effectively.
Yeah, unfortunately, that's the case. The demand for their missions has just skyrocketed in recent years, but the resources to support them haven't kept pace.
So more missions, but fewer resources. That sounds like a recipe for disaster.
It's a growing concern, and it's impacting both the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, NOAA for short, and the U.S. Air Force, who both operate Hurricane Hunter programs.
Got it. And what are some of the key factors that are contributing to this problem?
Well, one major issue is the aging aircraft in NOAA's fleet. Some of these planes date back to the 1970s.
Wow, the 70s. That's even older than some of our listeners. That's pretty incredible that they're still flying at all, let alone into hurricanes.
It is remarkable, but it also poses significant challenges. Older planes require more frequent maintenance, which means they're more likely to be grounded when they're needed most.
So they're not always available to fly missions, which means gaps in the data.
Exactly. And even when these older planes are operational, they often lack the advanced technology that's available on the Air Force's newer aircraft. So that limits their data collection capabilities.
So it's a double whammy, fewer planes available, and those that are flying aren't as efficient as they could be.
That's a great way to put it. And it highlights the urgent need for NOAA to modernize its fleet.
And are there any plans in place to upgrade those planes?
Yes. Thankfully, NOAA has a plan to replace its aging fleet with 6 new aircraft. 2 of those will be high-altitude Gulfstream jets, which should significantly enhance their data collection at those heights.
That sounds promising. So problem solved, right?
Well, not quite funding for the remaining 4 aircraft. The workhorse C-130Js is still up in the air, so to speak.
Mm-hmm. Oh no, not another funding roadblock. It's incredible how often a lack of funding seems to hold back these vital scientific programs.
It's a recurring theme, unfortunately, and it underscores the need for continued advocacy and public support for Hurricane Hunter programs.
Right, because without those C-130Js, even with the new jets, there will still be a significant gap in data collection during hurricane season.
Exactly, and we need as much data as possible to ensure accurate and timely forecast, especially as we see these increasingly unpredictable weather patterns, you know.
For sure. Okay, so aging aircraft are one piece of the puzzle. What other challenges are these Hurricane Hunter crews facing?
Well, another major hurdle is staffing shortages impacting both pilots and maintenance crews.
So it's not just about having enough planes, it's also about having enough qualified people to fly and maintain them.
Precisely. And this shortage is leading to burnout among existing crews who are often stretched thin, working long hours, and facing increased pressure to meet mission demands.
And I imagine those staffing shortages are only exacerbated by the aging aircraft, creating a sort of vicious cycle.
You hit the nail on the head. The more time those older planes spend in maintenance, the more pressure it puts on the crews and the harder it is to recruit and retain skilled personnel.
Right. Who wants to sign up for a job where you're constantly playing catch up and dealing with equipment failures?
It's a real concern, and it's not just hypothetical. There have been several instances in recent years where missions had to be canceled or delayed due to staffing shortages.
Wow. So these shortages are having a real-world impact, potentially compromising the data needed for accurate forecasts.
Exactly. And that brings us to another critical issue, communication.
Communication, you mean, between the Hurricane Hunter crews and the forecasters on the ground?
That's part of it, but I'm also referring to communication at a higher level between the leadership of NOAA and the Air Force.
So they're not effectively coordinating their efforts.
There seems to be a lack of communication and collaboration, which can lead to inefficiencies and missed opportunities.
It's like trying to run a marathon with two different sets of running shoes.
That's a great analogy. You need both organizations to be on the same page, sharing information, coordinating resources, and working towards a common goal.
But it sounds like they're operating in silos, each focused on their own priorities rather than the bigger picture.
That's a major concern, and it's particularly worrisome in light of the other challenges we've discussed. Aging aircraft, staffing shortages, increasing mission demands, it all adds up to a system that's under immense strain.
So we've got aging planes on one side, staffing issues on the other, and a communication breakdown right in the middle. It sounds like Hurricane Hunters are facing an uphill battle.
It's a challenging situation, no doubt, but before we delve further into those challenges, let's take a moment to acknowledge the incredible work these individuals do, often putting their lives on the line to gather data that helps keep us all safe.
Yeah, it's easy to get caught up in, you know, the technical details and logistical hurdles, but we can't forget about the human element of this story.
Exactly. These are highly skilled and dedicated professionals facing incredible risks to fulfill their mission.
Well said. Now, for our listeners who want to learn more about meteorology and the incredible work of Hurricane Hunters, be sure to follow meteorologist Rob Jones on Instagram, meteorologist on TikTok, TV meteorologist, and on YouTube, follow Rob Jones Hurricane. We can also find the Meteorology Matters podcast playlist.
Great resources, and in the next part of our discussion, we'll explore the implications of these challenges and what's being done or not being done to address them.
So stay tuned as we continue our deep dives into the world of Hurricane Hunters here on Meteorology Matters.
Right back after the break.
Welcome back to Meteorology Matters. We've been exploring these challenges that Hurricane Hunters are facing, from aging aircraft to staffing shortages and communication breakdowns.
Yeah, it's a really complex situation with no easy answers, but what makes this even more concerning is how these challenges impact our ability to forecast and prepare for hurricanes.
Right, because ultimately the data that they collect is like the foundation of those hurricane models that we see on the news. You know, the swirling graphics that tell us where the storm's headed.
Exactly. And when missions are missed or delayed because of these challenges, it creates gaps in the data, and those gaps can translate into less certainty in the forecast.
So it's not just about knowing if a hurricane is coming. It's about knowing where it's going to hit and how strong it will be when it gets there.
Precisely. And that level of detail is critical for making informed decisions about evacuations, emergency response, resource allocation.
Okay, so less certainty in the forecast. What does that actually mean for, like, someone living in a hurricane-prone area?
Okay, so imagine a scenario where a hurricane is bearing down on the coast with complete data forecasters, might be able to pinpoint the landfall location with a high degree of confidence. They might issue an evacuation order for a 50-mile stretch of coastline.
Got it. So they know where it's going to hit, so they get people out of harm's way in that specific area. But what happens when that data is incomplete?
Well, if there are significant gaps in the data because Hurricane Hunter missions were missed or delayed, those forecasters might not be as certain about the landfall location. So to be safe, they might have to issue a much wider evacuation order, maybe 100 miles instead of 50.
Yeah, double the evacuation zone that would create chaos.
Absolutely. You suddenly have twice as many people trying to evacuate, clogging highways, putting a strain on shelters and resources, and all because of a lack of data.
Yeah, it's a domino effect, all stemming from those challenges we've been discussing.
Yeah.
And it's not just about the inconvenience, it's about people's lives and livelihoods.
Exactly. Think about the economic impact. Businesses have to shut down people, lose wages, tourism takes a hit, and the longer the uncertainty lingers, the greater that economic disruption becomes.
Right. And let's not forget about the emotional toll, too. Evacuations are stressful enough as it is. But imagine the added anxiety and uncertainty of not knowing if you really need to leave your home.
It's a significant psychological burden, and that's why these Hurricane Hunter challenges are so critical. Their work doesn't just impact weather forecasts. It directly affects the safety, well-being, and peace of mind of millions of people.
So we've got these aging aircraft leading to missed missions, staffing shortages, causing burnout and communication breakdowns, hindering coordination. It's a lot to grapple with. But is anything being done to address these challenges?
Well, as we mentioned earlier, NOAA is taking steps to modernize its fleet. Those new Gulfstream jets will be a significant upgrade for their high-altitude missions, providing more detailed data about the upper levels of hurricanes.
Okay, so new planes are coming. That's a step in the right direction. But will it be enough to solve the problem?
It's a crucial step, but it's not a magic bullet. Remember, funding for those C-130J aircraft is still uncertain, and even with new planes, those staffing shortages and communication issues won't just disappear.
Right, those underlying problems need to be addressed as well. It sounds like there needs to be a more holistic approach, a strategy that goes beyond just replacing planes.
Exactly. It's about recognizing that hurricane hunters are facing a multifaceted challenge that requires a multifaceted solution.
So what would that solution look like? What needs to happen to ensure that these vital missions can continue?
Well, first and foremost, we need to address the funding issues. Those C-130Js are essential for gathering data within the storm itself, so securing funding for those aircraft is critical.
It's incredible how often a lack of funding seems to hamstring these vital scientific programs. Is it simply a matter of awareness? Do people just not understand how crucial this work is?
That might be part of it, but I think it also reflects a broader issue of prioritizing short-term budget savings over long-term investments in science and safety.
So it's not just about money, it's about priorities. And how do we shift those priorities?
It requires a combination of public awareness, political will, and strong advocacy from within the scientific community. We need to make the case for hurricane hunters to explain why their work is so essential and why investing in their success is ultimately an investment in our own safety and resilience.
Well said. And speaking of the incredible work they do, I want to kind of shift gears for a moment. We've talked a lot about the challenges, but I think it's important to highlight the human side of this story. I mean, flying into a hurricane, that takes a special kind of courage.
It absolutely does. These individuals are facing extreme conditions, risking their lives to gather data that helps protect us all. They are true heroes.
I'm curious, what kind of training do these hurricane hunters go through to prepare for such a demanding and dangerous job?
The training is rigorous for pilots. It involves countless hours of simulator training, learning to handle their aircraft in the most extreme weather scenarios imaginable. They need to be able to react quickly and decisively under immense pressure.
And what about the rest of the crew, the meteorologists, the engineers, the technicians who are responsible for collecting and transmitting the data?
They undergo extensive training as well, both individually and as a team. They need to be experts in their respective fields, but they also need to be adaptable, resilient, and able to work effectively under incredibly stressful conditions.
It sounds like the ultimate test of skill and teamwork. They're not just flying into a hurricane, they're operating a sophisticated mobile laboratory in the midst of chaos.
That's a great way to put it, and they're doing it with a level of precision and professionalism that is truly remarkable.
Okay, so we've established that these are highly skilled, incredibly brave individuals facing these mounting challenges. What are the long-term implications if those challenges aren't addressed? What happens if we fail to support our hurricane hunters?
That's where things get really concerning if we can't support them, if they can't do their jobs effectively. It could have a cascading effect on our entire forecasting system and our ability to prepare for and respond to hurricanes.
Okay, walk me through that. Paint a picture of what could happen.
Well, as we've discussed, less data means less certainty in forecasts that could lead to wider evacuation zones, creating more disruption and economic losses. It could lead to emergency services being stretched thin, unable to respond effectively to the areas of greatest need.
And that's just the immediate impact. What about the long-term consequences?
In the long run, it could erode public trust in weather forecasts and warnings. Imagine a scenario where repeated inaccuracies lead to people questioning the reliability of forecasts.
Oh, wow. People might start ignoring warnings altogether, thinking they're not accurate. That could lead to people staying put when they should be evacuating.
Exactly, and that could have catastrophic consequences. We could see a situation where people become complacent, even in the face of a major hurricane threat.
So we're not just talking about weather data here. We're talking about public safety risk perception and the credibility of our entire warning system. It's about ensuring that people trust the information they're receiving so they can make informed decisions about their safety and well-being.
You've hit the nail on the head, and that's why it's so important to address these hurricane hunter challenges now before the situation deteriorates further.
Okay, enough doom and gloom for one episode. Let's shift gears slightly before we wrap up. Are there any glimmers of hope on the horizon? Anything that gives you optimism about the future of hurricane hunters?
Well, I am encouraged by the fact that NOAA and the Air Force are at least acknowledging these challenges and taking some steps to address them. The new planes are a positive development, and hopefully the funding for those C-130Js will come through.
Yeah, it's a start, but it feels like we need a more fundamental shift in thinking.
I agree. We need to move beyond simply reacting to problems and start proactively investing in the future of hurricane hunters. That means not only funding new aircraft, but also supporting research and development of new technologies, exploring innovative approaches to data collection and analysis, and attracting and retaining the best and brightest talent.
So thinking outside the box, pushing the boundaries of what's possible. It's about seeing hurricane hunters not just as data collectors, but as pioneers, as innovators, as essential partners in our quest to understand and prepare for hurricanes.
Well said. And perhaps most importantly, it's about recognizing that their work is not just about science and technology. It's about people. It's about protecting lives, safeguarding communities, and building a more resilient future for us all.
We've covered a lot of ground in this episode, from the technical details of aircraft and data collection to the broader implications for public safety and trust.
It's a complex issue, but one that deserves our attention and support.
Now, for our listeners who want to delve deeper into this topic and explore ways to support hurricane hunters.
Be sure to follow meteorologist Rob Jones on Instagram, meteorologist on TikTok, TV meteorologist, and on YouTube, follow Rob Jones Hurricane, where you can also find the Meteorology Matters podcast playlist.
And join us for the final part of our discussion, where we'll explore some potential solutions and what you can do to help ensure that these unsung heroes have the resources they need to continue their vital mission. Welcome back to Meteorology Matters.
We've been taking a look at all the challenges facing hurricane hunters these days.
Yeah, those brave folks who fly right into the storms to get the data we need for our forecasts.
Exactly. And we've talked about what could happen if we don't address those challenges.
Like forecasts becoming less accurate and wider evacuation zones.
Economic disruption, all kinds of things, and even people losing trust in those warning systems.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a scary picture.
It is. But, you know, before we get too worried, I think we should talk about solutions.
Yeah, because even though there are big hurdles to overcome, there are ways we can make sure those hurricane hunters can keep doing their vital work.
Definitely. And we touched on this in the last part, but you need a more comprehensive approach, not just swapping out old planes for new ones.
Right. It's about getting to the root of the problem.
Exactly. Addressing those underlying systemic issues that are holding them back.
And one of those root causes you mentioned was the lack of communication and coordination between the National Oceanic Atmosphere Administration and the U.S. Air Force.
It's a huge problem right now. It seems like those two groups are working in silos, each focused on their own to-do list instead of the bigger picture.
So you have NOAA with their aging fleet and the Air Force working on communication upgrades, but they're not really talking to each other or coordinating their efforts.
Right. And that can lead to a lot of wasted effort and missed opportunities.
It's like there's ships passing in the night, each one not knowing where the other is headed.
Yeah, a good analogy. And it's especially concerning when you think about how urgent this situation is, with hurricanes becoming more frequent and more intense.
So how do we fix this? How do we get those two organizations working together towards the same goal?
Well, it starts with leadership. We need people at the top of both NURA and the Air Force talking to each other and making sure they're on the same page.
So get those leaders in a room together, hash out a plan.
Exactly. And it can't just be a one-time thing. There needs to be a system for regular communication, maybe a dedicated committee or task force that focuses specifically on the needs of hurricane hunters.
So a team that makes sure everyone is working together, sharing resources, and focused on the same goals.
Yeah, a unified front. Because ultimately, their success is our success.
Okay, so step one is to break down those silos and get everyone talking.
Right, and step two is we need to invest in the future of hurricane hunters.
And that means more than just buying new planes, doesn't it?
It does. We need to fund research and development, explore new technologies that could help us collect and analyze data even better.
So thinking outside the box.
Exactly. Imagine drones that can fly into the heart of a hurricane and send back real-time data.
Or maybe new sensors that can measure wind speeds and barometric pressure with even greater accuracy.
Yeah, there are so many exciting possibilities, and it's not just about the technology, it's about the people too.
Right, making sure we can recruit and train the next generation of hurricane hunters.
Yeah, give them the resources and support they need to succeed in this really tough job.
Yeah. Building a strong pipeline of talent dedicated to carrying on this mission.
Because as climate change keeps affecting our weather, we're going to need accurate hurricane forecasts more than ever.
So it's not just an investment in science and technology. It's an investment in our future, our ability to handle whatever storms come our way.
I couldn't have said it better myself. It's an investment that will benefit us for years to come.
Well, we've covered a lot of ground in this episode of Meteorology Matters, from the challenges to the solutions, from the technical details to the human side of things.
It's a complex topic, but a vital one.
If you're interested in learning more, I encourage you to follow meteorologist Rob Jones on Instagram, meteorologist, on TikTok, TV meteorologist, and on YouTube, follow Rob Jones Hurricane. You can also find the Meteorology Matters podcast playlist there.
Great resources, and remember, this issue affects all of us, not just scientists and policymakers.
So stay informed, stay engaged, and make your voice heard about supporting hurricane hunters.
Because their success means our safety.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
We'll see you next time.